Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the still December air, maybe you have heard the words of the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Some pretty prophecies and things are included that play out the Savior's life. The last verse sounds like this: "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am." Mary, did you know? 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 Oh, Mary, did you know? And sometimes I wonder, in the emotion of that song, something true is lost. Yes, Mary knew. She knew because someone had told her before all of it happened. Other people in our culture have written things and promoted things and put things out that, well, Mary was just this unawares young woman, probably too young, and while she was probably a little younger than our culture would expect, her age doesn't really matter. God's plan called for an unmarried young woman to be the mother of our Savior Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And what we found in Mary was someone who broke a society that might condone or even promote sexual impurity. What he found in Mary was an example that maybe our society would not follow, but because Mary lived by God's standards in this respect, what we find is someone who met certain qualifications for something incredibly special, that the messenger of God would come to her. Yes, an angel came to Mary to show her God's grace and to prepare her for the birth of the Christ child. 6 months earlier, an angel had appeared to Zechariah. This was an old man who was married to the cousin of Mary, who was an old woman. And an angel told him that something very special was going to happen in his wife Elizabeth's old age. She was going to have a child, and that would be John the Baptist, the forerunner of the coming Christ. A pretty special prophecy. And that would have been 6 months before what we read in this morning's gospel. So Elizabeth would have been 3 months away from giving birth to John. And at that time, God sent an angel to Mary about 65 miles north of where Elizabeth and Zechariah were, in a little town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee. Really an unlikely place, such a small village. People from the big city tended to look with disdain on Nazareth, and it wasn't a vacation spot. It wasn't a place where you would normally go for Christmas, or for a message of fulfillment, or for a prophecy. It's not where an angel would imagine all of these gospel things would take place. It was very likely that the people from Nazareth felt uncomfortable and self-conscious when they went to the big city. If you went to Jerusalem for the big festival, people would probably know you were from up north because their dialect would give them away. And they might ask for directions and people would know you were unfamiliar, that maybe you were some kind of backwoods country bumpkin. We may feel the same way when we talk about our small synod. In fact, after a few times of explaining we're from the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, we might have felt like people give us the brush. But what we hear in this story today is just an incredible, profound promise that even from the unlikely places, from small things, God's gospel news can permeate, can go out, and can be very productive and a very special thing. So maybe it's not so bad if you come from a synod of small size. Anyway, Gabriel came to this young woman named Mary, and she was old enough and mature enough to be engaged at this point in time to a man named Joseph, so it's not really very difficult to understand why she was very greatly troubled at the presence of this angel. No one would feel bold. No one would feel self-assured in front of this mighty messenger of God, this perfect angel from heaven. Because of her low estate in her eyes, she probably felt double ill at ease. And I imagine as the angel approached, he must have had a hard time controlling his excitement and maybe his mighty appearance, because this was such a special mission when he came to say, "Greetings, Mary, you who are highly favored." If Mary was self-conscious, as we might expect, this greeting must have floored her. It must not have been like a normal, "How are you?" "Hi." "Good afternoon." "What's up?" This was entirely different. What could it mean? Highly favored? In fact, it may have been very common for women at that time, maybe women in our time, to really not feel very special. Sometimes get down on themselves and frustrated about their state in life or because of things that have happened to them. Gabriel said, "The Lord is with you." What strange words to hear. And no wonder she was greatly troubled. Is it possible that many women don't take compliments easily? Sure, they like to hear them, but when it happens, they don't really believe it. They're very concerned about appearance, maybe. Sometimes concerned about their work and their job and how that's going to turn out. Concerned about the household, maybe how things look in the home. And concerned about cooking. They want their hair done right, makeup on, and clothing neat. They appreciate compliments, but sometimes don't feel they deserve it. I think many women can relate to where Mary was at this point. Well, it's just one pastor's opinion. But I think this matter goes much deeper than just being a woman. What could have really struck at the heart of Mary and caused her to fear was really the fact that this angel is perfect, and that she knew she had no position in life. And maybe even her sins came out at that point. How could I be the bearer and the receiver of God's grace? Mary was not in the presence of some handsome suitor who was courting her. She was in the presence of this incredible heavenly being. And automatically she must have felt the fear and shame that comes with sin. And we have to reject the teachings of this or that church body. We might offer papal Rome saying that Mary was sinless. We can't suggest that. We can't accept that, because she was a sinful human being as we are. And her greatest discomfort before the angel must have been her sinful nature. It's only when we see her sin, in fact, that we see the grace of God in all of this angel's appearing. If the angel was going to search for a sinless woman to bear the Son of God, well, the angel would still be looking, wouldn't he? But God's grace is his powerful love that sweeps aside sin and embraces the sinner. That's what God's grace does. That's the definition of his grace. Love for those who do not deserve it. Favor for those who haven't earned it. And so, to prepare her for the birth of the Christ child, the angel said it again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You are going to be with child." Now, being with child after marriage, that was normal. That's what Jewish women wanted. That's how you fit in fact, in many ways, more than our society. But Mary correctly understood. This will happen before marriage. Now, that was maybe not so much of a favor that she was receiving. She knew the facts of life, and she knew that babies don't happen without a man in a woman's life. She was disturbed to hear, "Mary, you are going to have a child." She might well have thought, "This is going to be my undoing with Joseph. What will my family think? What will my mother think? What will my father think? What about all of my friends? I'll be the ugly talk of the town, scorned and ridiculed beyond belief." The angel patiently explained, "Your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. Now there's a bombshell, if you've ever heard one. Mary must have thought, in many ways, not what the son is going to be. Who will he be? How is this going to play it out? She could have searched the scriptures for that. But in all of this troublesome news, she must have wondered in her heart, you should be talking to a woman in Jerusalem. You should be talking to someone of rich, well-to-do parents. You should be talking to a socialite. You should be talking to someone with a few more street smarts. You should be talking not to me, but someone with a special upbringing. Someone better than I am. Those thoughts were floating through her mind when she asked the next question, how will this be? The angel told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Did Mary really understand and comprehend all this? Maybe not. But in humble trust, she accepted the message. She didn't put up an argument. She didn't have an attitude of doubt. She didn't protest or challenge. But she trusted this message from God. Of course, our attention is focused on Mary. She was the one to whom the angel came. But you know what's really important this Christmas? Is that we accept the message as if it came to us. We're not in a position to put our own trust in God of our own power. Faith doesn't come by our thinking or choosing. In fact, the natural sinful mind is hostile to God, we know from Romans chapter 8. Meanwhile, this is a very important, crucial teaching of Jesus Christ and all of his followers. We confess it in the Apostles' Creed. That's coming next. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. Also, we also confess, I believe in Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And we wouldn't believe this unless the Holy Spirit came upon us. This kind of thing is denied by many people in our time. As an extremely important component of the Christian faith, we believe not just because it's rational, it's not. Not because we figured it out, we didn't. And not because we're better than other people, we aren't. We believe because the Holy Spirit came upon us. Just as he planted the seed in the virgin's womb, so he's planted faith to trust this powerful promise in your hearts as well. May we always put our trust in the fact that the Son of God was born of a virgin, born miraculously, born not for great and powerful people, born not for this or that socialite, that rich person, the person with the right upbringing, but born for you and born for me, born for everyone in a lowly position, born for everyone whose sin needs sweeping aside, born for everyone who came in here today frustrated and angered by the problems we've caused for ourselves in our family, at our jobs, and problems that have been caused upon us by the devil's temptation, by his frustration, by his timing in God's plans, with the knowledge that God's victory is for you, the knowledge that God's Son is for you, and that God has done away with every wrong thing because of the virgin birth. Amen.